Pardon me, I didn't see you there. Mainly because this is radio and you can't see anything over radio. That's Sunseeker for you, a track called Crystal Mountain, which is a cover of a Death song. Well, the band Death. I mean, it is also, I guess, a song that, since it's by Death, becomes a Death song. But it's not also a song about Death. You know what's going on here. It's off of their EP Crystal and Gold, along with the track you heard before the commercials, which was The Gold Will Rise. So there you go. You've heard the whole thing. But you should still go to their Bandcamp, and you should download it for yourself so that you can have a copy of it for whenever you so please, when you desire, you can listen to it. Speaking of new things, and RPM Fest, which I was at last weekend, which is pretty fun, you guys. I know a lot of you are very sad that Rockfest is gone. Now, I never went to Rockfest. I should have, but I didn't, because I was resistant to going camping. Also, stories about rivers of poo don't really endear you to wanting to go to a festival. You know what I mean? And I am not going to tell you that about RPM Fest, because everything was very well put together. Very good fest. I highly recommend it. This year there was a bunch. You can go right now and see what was there, what you missed. I got to chat with such bands as Belushi Speedball, who are ridiculous. I got to see bands like Temple the Fuzzwitch, which you'll get to hear an interview with later in today's show. I also got to talk with Sunseeker, which you just heard. I spoke with Castle Rat, which you'll hear later in the show. But let's focus on another band that has a new record that just came out this past Friday, Glacier from Boston. They have a record that just came out called A Distant Violent Shudder. It's all instrumental. It's all very good. I'm going to play you an interview I did with them. Now, here's the thing, and I'm gonna straight up apologize to an associated band with this, because Glacier will, in the end of this first part of the interview, talk about a band called C, who are from Boston. I went to interview them on Saturday. It was a really good interview, if I do say so myself. You can hear it, the beginning of it, when I go to my phone and hit the play button, you get to hear. And now let me switch over to my question. And then as soon as I did, apparently my recording program was like, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm done. So that interview does not exist. But you will hear Glacier talk about C, and I will probably play C at the end of this show to try and make up for the fact that a very good interview that happened and their time is now gone. I apologize, C. But let's talk about Glacier for a moment more, because their new record is very good. It's very tasty. You should definitely listen to it. Not now, after this interview. Let's get into this. Part one, an interview that I did with Glacier from Boston about A Distant Violent Shudder. Keep it locked. CJLO 1690 AM. This is Grade A Explosives RPM wrap-up show.
Hey, everybody. It's Andrew. I am down here at RPM Fest. It is day a million, one, I don't know, time has no meaning. I'm here joined by members from the Boston band, Glacier, and I will let them intro themselves because, well, they know their own names better than I do. I presume, I guess. And also, you can put a voice to a name. So, good people, tell the listeners who you is and what you do's in this band. I guess we'll start in this direction.
I'm Ryan. I play guitar in Glacier.
My name is Derek. I play bass in Glacier.
My name is also Ryan. My voice is a little bit higher pitched. I also play guitar in Glacier.
I'm Matthew. I also play guitar in Glacier.
And I'm Jesse, and I play drums.
Three guitarists, two named Ryan. It's, you know, very, very easy to follow, everybody. So I hope you got all that. Get your chalkboards out so you can make the lines for everybody.
Get a whiteboard.
Yes.
If you don't have a whiteboard, get a whiteboard.
Let's talk about A Distant Violent Shudder, which is, apparently I hear, the newest record, which is coming out this coming Friday, right?
Yes.
All right, okay. I'm always interested because bands that do, like, instrumental things, I've talked to a few of them, and some of them are just like, man, it's really hard to write stuff because, like, you start writing it, you know, you get to a part, you're just like, this has gone on too long, it's too short, I need to add something. How was writing this record like for you guys? Was it difficult, easy?
I think we started writing the record. We had a record that came out prior to this called No Light Ever, and it came out in 2019. And we were really gearing up 2020. We were going to do some shows in Europe and Canada and some Midwest states.
Oh, what happened in 2020 that you didn't do?
Yeah, there was some personal conflicts in 2020 that didn't allow us to do that. So kind of took the wind out of our sails. The record was like well received and people said nice things about it. And we got to play a little bit on it, but then the world shut down and then we just started to write a new record. And we took the whole thing seriously and we didn't get together for a bit and we would just try to come up with riffs and do things on our own. And then as time passed and, you know, we could get together in a reasonable way, we did, and we just slugged through it. And the way that we write music is we get into a room and we just hash it out. And it takes us a long time to write the records because it's not like when someone writes stuff at home and sends it along in a Dropbox folder. I mean, that happens from time to time, but the primary way that we write songs is we get into the room and we hash it out. And the human connection of writing together in a room is what drives that for us. And so it was a slow process and it was slowed down. You know, there are different waves of the pandemic and different things that came up and, you know, that would kind of prevent and put the halt on the writing process occasionally. And that was difficult. And we just kind of plowed through it and we finished writing the record about a year ago at this point, I think, was when we really finished it. So it took us a few years and we just persevered and got through it. And there started to be some better traction with getting together and we just focused on that. And that's kind of how we approached writing the record, as a group effort.
Would you say when you went into writing this album, you had a definite, like, theme in mind for it? Is it a concept record, a themed record, which apparently we split off into two different things? I didn't get that memo, but apparently that's true.
I don't think we didn't have a theme in general, but the first single off the record called The Old Timers was I think that was the first song that we wrote for the record. And we're just looking, the intro like really lent itself to having some sort of like clip or sample over the top of it. And so I ended up finding some samples from interviews from the Dust Bowl from like the, you know, like 100 years ago. And that sort of played into just the whole concept behind the record. So very loosely based, mainly about the like the atmosphere and the feeling behind it. Not like, you know, we're not experts on the Dust Bowl, but just about, you know, kind of coming out of the pandemic and coming out of that, like, I know Ryan talked about it a bunch, but like this like giant shared traumatic event that a lot of people went through that was, you know, like out of a lot of people's control, had an interesting parallel to that time as well. So there, I would say very, very, very loosely based around that because of some of the samples that we found, which we just thought was kind of an interesting time period.
Is there a trick that you guys have to, because I listen to your music and there's a lot of like oppression that's there, but also these like periods of lightness to kind of bring it up. Is there kind of a trick that you found to writing that, or is it just based on like, well, this feels right, you guys, and let's just go from there?
I think that we've always kind of leaned into having that contrast of, you know, showing some light and some niceness so that when you do hit the heavier moments and the bigger, you know, more crushing riffs and parts, it has a little bit more impact. You know, you can't really have an ultimate bad without, you know, some good. So leaning into that contrast, I think, has been kind of, at least in my mind, the best approach to getting like that ultimate crushing feeling. You know, you have to have something in order to kill it, so.
I think that leads into the songwriting process, too, where, like, we want, when you're talking about trying to find parts that are interesting, or like, we played this part a bunch of times, what do we do? It's really, like, a feeling thing. Every song itself is kind of like its own little journey in a way, and then overall on the record as well. Like, because there's no lyrics and there's no words, outside of like the samples that we incorporated, there's no like purpose written words for the record. So it's more about how can we bring someone in and capture their attention over either the span of a 12-minute song or a 45-minute record. You know, I mean, there's some bands that can do that. They go, you know, straight in, you know, 0 to 60 all in one, and that's all record, and that's great. But for us, it's always worked where we need sort of that ebb and flow to keep it interesting for us and for other people.
Yeah, I was going to ask, because you don't have a lead singer, obviously, and for a lot of bands, that's kind of like, you know, the point. Like, they have a lead singer who, like, makes noises with his face and moves around the stage, and everyone focuses on that. You don't really have that. Does that play into the way you think about performing, or is it just like, we're going to go out and play a bunch of stuff, and that's going to be it, you guys, so focus on whatever you want, or don't focus at all?
I don't think it was. I don't think it's ever been intentional to play a certain way, but I think because there's no one fronting the band, it all gives us the opportunity to just do whatever feels natural to us. Hmm. And I think that, you know, the parts in the song that we have a lot of fun playing, we have a lot of fun, you know, jumping around and getting into the music and feeling a certain way about it. And I think that's kind of like an overarching thing of like just the band in general. There's not one person that is like the face of the band. We are a collective and a group, and we, you know, we write songs democratically, we make decisions democratically, and it's all a process that we all do together rather than a leader or dictator in the band that's going through it.
You said an interesting thing here, because I have been very focused on this phrase collective for some time now, because I remember when The Ocean used to be a band, and now they are a collective. And I'm wondering, like, and as far as I understand, Robin is the only person that writes, well, who's the main person that writes for it. So I'm wondering, do you guys think of yourselves as a collective, and what does that mean to you?
Well, we definitely have roles.
We do stuff here, so...
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it depends on what you're doing. I think Ryan summed it up nicely. Like, there's no main songwriter. So, like, Ryan will have a riff. We'll either say, great, let's explore it, or like, nah, I don't know.
No, Ryan, no.
Yeah. And then, like, we'll jam, and then we'll record that, listen to it back for a week, and be like, hey, something inspired me during that jam, and then that will become something. Or we'll jam on that idea, and then next thing you know, we're working on something that's like maybe like three parts removed from what we originally had. And then we'll all decide, you know, 2 weeks later that we hate it and we'll start over. So like, it's really just, like we have to all agree that we're all pumped on a song, and we all have to all agree that the song feels done. So I guess that makes it a collective in the sense of like, we all have to feel really good about it in order to move forward then.
I would add to that, we have demos of the first single, Old Timers, from July of 2021, that there's only one part that survived. We like had a song, and we've been playing it for a while, and we even played it live once, and then got back and listened to it, and you're like, no, like, none of this is working. This part, this works, and then that became the song eventually.
Yeah, I would call us a band, but we, as far as the songwriting process go, it is equally shared from, you know, between all five of us. There's no one has ever brought in a fully formed song and said, this is what you are playing for this song. And I don't think there's ever been any riff or any part that hasn't been influenced by someone else in the band. I think in spirit it's a collective, but this record we had one collaborator that came in and did some guest spots, but there's not like people coming in and out, which is kind of how what I think of when I think of a collective. But the work, it's like a shared songwriting process from like start to finish.
Is that a member of C's who I spoke to yesterday?
Yes, it is. We're good. C is our best band friends. Yeah.
They're our band friends.
And we have a cool scene in Boston where, you know, they're all great artists and collaborators. And so Liz, who plays in C, does a lot of our graphic design. So she did the layout for our new record. She did the layout for the last record. She's done a lot of, like, you know, visual stuff for us over the years. But, you know, her aesthetic of... her interpreting our ideas of what we want the record to look like, that her aesthetic is part of our identity. So she's very much, you know, part of the whole process. And it felt natural to have her come in. She's a great, great vocalist, great guitar player, great artist. So she came in and did some work on the record with us. Steven, who also plays in C, is a very talented video director and editor. And so typically with a record, we like to go, instead of doing like a music video, we get into a room and do like an Audio Tree style live performance. And we did something on every record, and Steven has always filmed it with a crew and edited it. So, you know, we're fortunate to be in the Boston community where there's a lot of artists and collaborators that do those types of things, that we're able to support them, they're able to support us. And
Mike from C did the shirts.
Mike from C did the screen printing of the shirts of the new record. So
sounds like C is basically like your like artist design team.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
They're on our payroll.
Yeah. They literally are, and we don't do anything for them. It's so one-sided.
We'll be right back.
something a little bit deeper here. Because one year when I was at Heavy Montreal, when it was still happening, I got to see Neurosis play at, like, basically sundown in the woods with, like, the Lachine Canal behind us. And it felt like, as a non-religious person, it felt like what I imagine people when they're having a religious experience feels like. Hold on, we'll get to how this relates to the second. This is context. I've been kind of interested as the membership, I guess, of people attending various religious institutions seems to be dropping. Do you think that things like what you guys are doing, as far as, like, not like a, I don't want to say a dirge element to what's going on, but that kind of, like, psalmy, like plotting type of meditative things that you were producing in your music, do you think that's something that could take the place of what's going on there?
That's an interesting question.
That is.
I think that people will always flock to what they find comfort in, and I think that where we live in a time where there's no rule on what gives people comfort or, you know, satisfaction or where people need to be, that everyone can kind of choose their own path, then, you know, speaking that way, sure, I think that a lot of people can, you know, kind of flock to music or a form of entertainment or something beyond what we know as religion as their comfort in their religious space, I guess. You know, I don't think it'll ever replace that, but I do think that, you know, it adds to where we are as a society.
Did have someone tell us that they went into a trance today.
Yes.
Yeah.
It may have been the heat, but there was a trance.
I think, too, we're all fans of music. We've all had experiences like the one you described with bands ourselves, different
including
bands.
Including Neurosis.
Including Neurosis. So I think the type of people that are just into the type of music that is in this world tend to feel it really heavy, and that's something that we all share together.
All right. Well, you guys have this new record coming out. You're a couple records deep right now. You've got your collective bringing, well, members of C into your band to do things for you. What's the worst musical instrument?
What's the worst?
Yeah.
Musical instrument.
Yeah.
What's the box you sit on where you're like, cajon? The cajon is the worst musical instrument.
I don't know. I used to play a didgeridoo, and I...
No, that thing is...
No.
Yeah.
Hook that up to a reverb pedal, brother, and you're boxing out of space.
I mean, you slow that down. You could put that on a Seatbone Appalachia record.
I think it's very context... Besides the cajon, which is terrible in all contexts, I think it's very context-dependent.
We put an air conditioner through guitar pedals once. Anything can work.
Besides a cajon.
Wait, is that true? You put an air conditioner through pedals to use on something, or just for, like, shits and giggles that you're doing?
A little of those.
Okay.
Yeah, it was an experiment.
It was a roadblock day.
Yeah.
That was our inspiration.
You can find it on the Instagram. It's there.
It's buried somewhere.
Yeah, it doesn't sound great.
What? How do you
believe? Wouldn't you think it sounds sick? It didn't.
I mean, you never know, right?
You gotta try it.
Well, last question for you here. You have this record coming out. You have a release show happening in Boston, which I hear you might have a special guest for. Again, I did an interview yesterday with a band that I may have mentioned before. I won't reveal too much here. No spoilers. But what's kind of the plan after that? Do you guys have, like, a tour that you're going to do? Are you just going to, like, hibernate for the winter, as everyone in the New England likes to try and do? What's the game plan?
So we played Montreal for the first time at the beginning of the year, at Perlis Fest. So that was our first time up in Canada, so we know next year we want to try to get back there. We had all these plans in 2020 we're supposed to play Canada, we're supposed to play Europe for the first time. You know, so we're really hoping to kind of, like, get back to the same place that we were in at the release of the last record, show-wise. So, you know, we'll definitely, like, be playing locally. if the show is right, and we're going to try to branch out and do a little bit more. You know, we all, most of us have like children, and we all have families, so we're not going to be going out for months at a time. But,
well, at least you don't have day jobs, right? Because this pays you $1 million.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, definitely.
We all have unlimited vacation time. So.
Yes.
But I think like we want to try to do as much as we possibly can, because we put a lot of hard work in the record, and we get a lot of satisfaction playing it to people who haven't heard it. And if a couple people dig it, then we are very satisfied by that. So I think our hard work kind of deserves for us to be able to play in places we haven't played before.